Welcome through the Word to Psalm 88. It's a dark psalm, perhaps the darkest of the entire Psalter. It plays in the minor key, like Chopin's Funeral March, with the overwhelming melancholy and depression we experience when our lived reality clashes with what we know of God. We need this psalm. It gives voice to our deepest grief, our overwhelming disappointment, not just with circumstances, but with God himself. Like Philip Yancey's book, Disappointment with God, this psalm doesn't question God's existence. After all, an atheist expects nothing from God and so can't feel abandoned by him. But there's nothing more painful for those of us living in covenant with God when he appears to be silent in the midst of our suffering. Before we jump into the pain of this paradox, let's take a quick look at the problem of the two authors listed at this psalm's opening. The superscription first identifies the psalm as a song of the sons of Korah, then as a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. What's up with this? One possible solution is that the attribution to the sons of Korah better belongs as a postscript that closes the series of 10 psalms by the sons of Korah that ended with Psalm 87. If this is the case, then Psalm 88 is properly introduced as a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. If only the more central paradox of this psalm had such an easily imagined solution. It doesn't. So let's let the psalmist speak for himself. The psalmist begins. Verse 1. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. And so the psalmist begins. Yahweh, you are the God who saves me. This psalmist knows his God personally. He's experienced his salvation. And so, like before, he cries out persistently and in faith for God to make way for his prayer, for God to turn and respond. Can you hear the urgency? Yahweh, stop what you're doing. Turn down all other noise. Listen to me. When my daughter was little and I carried her in my arms, she would sometimes take my face in both her hands to turn it towards her. She needed my attention. She needed me to turn my eyes from the tasks about me to see and hear her. That's precisely the intimacy of this psalm. Heman knows his God, and with his persistent prayers, he's reaching out towards the Lord to grasp his face and turn it towards him. Listen as he pours out his heart in verse 3. I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead. Like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. Like wind-whipped waves, they pummel him relentlessly. He declares, I'm overwhelmed, near to death, like the slain who lie in the grave, cut off from your care. This is dark music indeed. The sense of abandonment is palpable. And with that sense of abandonment, take note of the increasing dissonance as the pronouns of the psalm now shift from the phrase, I am, to the pain of you have. In verse 6, you have put me in the lowest pit. In the darkest depths, your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. This could be one of Job's prayers. 4 times we hear the phrase, you have put me in the darkest depths. You have overwhelmed me. You have taken me from my closest friends, have made me repulsive. What is so brutal is how personal it all feels. Have you experienced depression like this? Feeling that God himself has not just let it happen, but somehow made it happen? And so the psalmist declares, I am confined and cannot escape. this sense of being trapped and having no end in sight, is what makes these kind of emotional seasons and the circumstances that give rise to them so insidious. And yet, the wonder of this dark psalm is what the psalmist does with all this negative emotion. He refuses to remain silent. He refuses to hold it inside. Instead, he throws it heavenward, directing those relentless, pummeling waves of abandonment and despair towards the Lord. Listen in as he gives the Lord no rest in verse 9. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? With insistence, the psalmist pummels heaven with four pointed rhetorical questions. Like Job's friends, we can recite all the reasons why we shouldn't speak to God this way. But the psalmist is dogged, unwilling to let go of the Lord. Listen, do you show your wonders to the dead? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? This is important. Did you hear those now familiar allusions through the Psalms to the Lord's name from Exodus 34? Your love, your faithfulness. The psalmist refuses to let this paradox resolve any other way. If Israel's God Yahweh is the Lord revealed in the Exodus, then death cannot have the last word. He will not let go until the Lord blesses him. Somehow, even though he's trapped in darkness, destruction, and death, the Lord must be able to reach him. So he calls out again in verse 13. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Somehow, in spite of the psalmist's overwhelming inward sense of death, he has lived another day. Awakened in the morning, he says, to once again pour out his prayers of complaint. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Can you hear it? The psalmist's stubborn refusal to resolve the tension. He is surrounded by death. But the very fact of this prayer demonstrates it. He is throwing in his lot with a God who somehow will declare his love in the grave. Verse 15. From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You've taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Remember, as this psalm comes to a close, that it's written to be sung corporately, liturgically. It's not just one man's battle with depression, but the voice of Israel's faithful, their corporate complaint sung out to God. And so the psalm calls for a response, our response, for solidarity in suffering and a determined decision that this cannot, will not be the last note in the Lord's requiem. No. Psalm 88 propels us forwards to Psalm 89. Music in search of a different ending. And so, through these tense, discordant notes of disappointment, darkness, grief, and death, we remain with the psalmist, living and praying to the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.